From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with a local and statewide news update. In June, the Juneau Assembly held a meeting dedicated to talking about issues with race and policing in the capital city. Juneau resident Jose Ignacio Manso testified that an officer used excessive force when pulling him over for driving under the influence. He said he thinks he was treated that way because he was confused with another man with a, quote, Spanish name, who was arrested earlier that day. I spoke to Manso and the police department for this story. Juneau resident Jose Ignacio Manso was arrested for driving under the influence in early June, but he says the police got him confused for someone else. Manso was stopped by a Juneau police officer at around 3:17 a.m. on Highland Drive in the parking lot of the Breakwater Inn, but a public record says he was stopped on the 100 block of Savica Road, 3 miles away. The record also shows the call was a response to a, quote, shots fired incident.
So I kind of freaked out a little bit because it was out of nowhere. At that moment, he proceeded to pull me out of the vehicle with his gun cocked and telling me to get out of the vehicle and to drop whatever weapon I had on me, which was not a weapon, it was my cell phone.
That's Manso. The officer who stopped him, Joseph Payden, was armed with an AR-15 and called another officer for backup. They proceeded to search Manso's car for drugs and weapons. Manso says he did not give them explicit consent to do so.
He said that one of the officers had been assaulted, and I even told him, you know, oh man, I'm sorry, he had a rough day, you know? I felt bad for him.
Manso was arrested for driving under the influence. But when he learned that it was another man that the officer was looking for with a Spanish name, Manso assumed he had been racially profiled and asked Payden a series of questions about his use of an assault rifle.
And I'm like, well, then why did you aggressively arrest me? I mean, stop me. Because one of my officers, it's just been a rough day, man. It's just been a rough day. That's all he kept saying. And then later on, throughout the thing, he said, well, we're just checking up on some shots fired. And that's when I was like, huh? So now I was shooting a gun too? It's like, dang.
Manso was subsequently detained and taken to Lemon Creek Correctional Facility.
I did continue to ask him about him shooting me. He never responded. The only thing he ended up saying last thing was, if you want, go ahead and sue me. But I was like, I ain't gonna sue you, man. I don't want to sue you. I just want things to be right, you know?
Officer Payden was unable to respond to several requests for comment, but Juneau Police Deputy Chief David Campbell says that Payden didn't racially profile Manso.
I don't know how he could be mistaken for somebody, because when we saw the car drive by, you couldn't tell who the occupant was.
While Manso's stop didn't fall under racial profiling by the department's standards, why Payden conducted the traffic stop with an assault rifle is still in question. Public records indicate there was another incident earlier that night involving a man named Jesus Manuel Abad, close to the actual location of the shots fired incident that morning on Savico Road. But by the time Manso was stopped 3 miles away, Abad was already arrested. Professor Troy Payne with the University of Alaska Anchorage Justice Center defines racial profiling like this.
Most people would interpret that to mean that police have inappropriately used race at some stage of the process.
He's not directly involved in Manso's case, but he says from what he can tell, the reason Payden was armed with a rifle was because Manso's stop was a felony or high-risk traffic stop.
If you're the citizen involved in that encounter, and particularly when you've done nothing wrong, or at least as far as you know, you've done nothing wrong, it's really scary.
Campbell says Payden's use of an assault rifle was justified in Manso's arrest because he thought he was responding to a shots fired call. Manso's case became a public matter when he testified before the Juneau Assembly at a listening session about race issues in the city. City Manager Rory Watt says he's read the police records and watched a video of the arrest.
I have not seen any evidence that he was racially profiled.
Watt says there are still legal issues in Manso's case that need to run their course and be adjudicated. As for Manso, there are still unresolved issues. He says that since the arrest, he's been left shaken.
It's just been restless nights, panic attacks, get anxiety attacks at night, just wake up in the middle of the night sweating, thinking something's happening or something's going to happen.
That's on top of the burden of loss he's already experienced during the pandemic. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. The Food Bank of Alaska says the coronavirus pandemic has had a dramatic impact on the need for food assistance in the state. The number of people picking up food rapidly increased in the spring, and as Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, while numbers have leveled off since the initial surge, demand is still higher than normal and could increase.
Byron Corral is wearing a face mask and loading boxes of food into a car in a giant parking lot in East Anchorage.
So one of the boxes is milk, like 2 gallons of milk. Another box is just an assortment of just dry goods. And another box is fresh produce.
Corral is one of about 10 volunteers at the Food Bank of Alaska's drive-through emergency distribution site. He and the others quickly stack boxes into cars and trucks, working through a line of vehicles that snakes through the lot. It seems busy now, he says, but you should have seen it this spring.
The first week when we started this location, the whole entire parking lot was full, and they said that we had at least 500 to 600 families that were served, and usually we average usually like 100. Yeah, the need was big in the whole entire city of Anchorage.
Mike Royster, the director of operations at the food bank, says the initial spike in need was incredible in late March and April. He says there was a steep rise in the number of people brand new to seeking food assistance as the coronavirus shut down businesses and unemployment skyrocketed. Since then, Royster says, the numbers have declined and plateaued, but they are still above normal. The food bank estimates that the need is up about 75% statewide compared to last year.
I think that what that tells us is that the number of new people experiencing food insecurity is declining, but the number of people who have steadily experienced food insecurity is remaining flat, that their need isn't changing.
Royster says he expects that increased need to last.
Given what we've experienced to this point and what we're experiencing now, we would expect the need to be sustained, especially into the school year and through the winter.
And the food bank says there's also anxiety about whether a second surge in demand is coming, with federal unemployment benefits set to expire soon. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
The mayor of Anchorage is limiting gathering sizes and the number of people allowed in bars, restaurants, and entertainment venues in response to rising coronavirus cases. The order by Mayor Ethan Berkowitz cites a need for increased restrictions on public interactions due to a resurgence in cases. Of the 92 new resident cases reported by the state Wednesday, 42 were from the municipality of Anchorage. Berkowitz's order takes effect Friday. The new restrictions come on top of an existing order previously issued by Berkowitz mandating use of face coverings in certain indoor public settings. Starting today, state workers and people who visit state buildings will be required to wear masks. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced the change during a press conference on Wednesday. He says the idea is to help contain the surge in cases of COVID-19 in Alaska. Up until now, the state has strongly encouraged masks, but has not mandated it. And when Anchorage passed its own mandate, Dunleavy's administration sought to block it from applying to state employees. Since then, several other cities have passed mask mandates, including Juneau, Gustavus, Seward, Valdez, and Cordova. Dunleavy says he doesn't want to issue a statewide mask mandate. He says there are a lot of communities that haven't had any cases of COVID-19 yet. So he wants to take a narrow approach with state mandates and specifically target communities that are seeing surges in cases. The Bureau of Land Management, BLM, has approved the proposed route for the controversial Ambler Road project. In its record decision released Thursday, BLM approved a route for the private access road that would span 211 miles from the Dalton Highway and cross gates of the Arctic National Park to get to the Ambler Mining District in northwest Alaska. The road has been touted by Ambler Metals LLC, a subsidiary of British Columbia-based company Trilogy Metals. The company hopes to use the road to access deposits of copper and other metals in the mining district and then to truck the ore out. Environmentalists are strongly opposed to the road, particularly over routing it through a national park. Subsistence hunters in the area are also concerned over possible effects on the migration of caribou, a staple in the local subsistence diet. BLM completed its environmental assessment of the road in March, acknowledging potential impacts to air and water quality, wildlife migration, and erosion. This is KTOO News.